Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Welcome to episode 4 of Podcast 2187. My name is Tim. I am your host, as always. And we have our full panel with us tonight because we are joined by Jared, by Mark, and by Amanda. So how are you guys doing?
Great.
Excellent.
Good.
Okay. I think we got like every option covered. So every positive option. All right. So I guess we'll, again, just get right into it. The first part with the news from our non-spoiler section.
Non-spoiler section.
And our news points are that The Force Awakens broke $2 billion at the international box office. Some people are saying it will continue on to 3. Some people say no. Either way, the point is it definitely did break $2 billion, which is a record worthy of note. Also, Disney Movie Rewards had previously put up the theatrical poster for The Force Awakens as something you can get. And currently, they have 13x19-inch double-sided posters of the characters that were released, a couple months, month or two before the movie came out.
So if you want to display them all, you have to buy 2 sets, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I think you have the option of getting them all at once, correct?
No, it's like different pictures on each side, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I think it's Finn, Han, and then Leia, Kylo, and then Rey, and then the Force Awakens poster or something like that.
Right, so if you want all 6 on your wall, you got to buy 2 sets.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, so that's what Disney Movie Rewards is doing. And then the last news topic was that it was about Star Wars Bloodline. And USA Today put up that information about Claudia Gray's upcoming novel. And the little excerpt it said was that Leia, played by Carrie Fisher, of course, is professionally at a good place as a senator and leader in a peaceful New Republic decades after the fall of Vader and the Emperor's stronghold?
Stranglehold.
Okay. On the galaxy. However, Gray says that a new generation doesn't remember the lessons of the rebellion or recognize the wrongs of the Empire, and Leia begins to see the cracks in the foundation that could lead to a dangerous future for the galaxy, which, of course, we know happens. So that was our little tidbit on Star Wars Bloodline, and then with that, we can go ahead and get into the discussion points. First is that some appearances at some cons have been, I think one in particular, have been canceled because of, they never actually stated directly it was because of Episode 8, but they very strongly hinted at it. And the people, Peter Mayhew, Tim Rose, and Mike Quinn have all canceled their appearances. And Jessica Henwick hasn't canceled hers yet. Of course, she played Jessica Pava. So either just the scheduling worked out or she hasn't canceled yet. But the point is, it looks like they're going to be getting ready for filming here really soon, at least their roles.
Yeah.
Sweet.
This is good, right?
No, I like this kind of stuff. I mean, now we can start getting pumped because we know it's happening.
What if she's not in it? Poor little, whatever her name is.
Jessica Pava?
Well, yeah, the actress's name. Maybe they didn't. Yeah.
Jessica
maybe they
Henwick?
Didn't, maybe they didn't invite her over because she's not in it.
That would be sad.
I think Ron would flip some tables if that was the case.
He would.
Yeah.
He would not enjoy that at all.
I would not want to be around when that news was delivered. But, yeah, anyway, so they're canceling their appearances. As far as I know, there really weren't too many actors who were going to have appearances at cons that needed to be canceled. Is that correct? Like, I think it was basically these 4 people, and 3 of them have canceled.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really a heavy con season yet. I mean, there's always cons ongoing, but I think it starts up mostly next month or whatever for like WonderCon, and then it kind of goes through the big stuff goes through the summer months, but they'll be busy, that's for sure.
All right.
Yeah. You nailed it.
I'm gonna just start making stuff up again.
Oh.
Your predictions.
I might give you an
opportunity. Here, I saw like the detailed list. I'm gonna have to backtrack on that one though for that Disney thing. The what is it? December, February 21st. The whole Disney special.
Yeah.
I saw the detailed list of what that show's gonna be. Oh, it's gonna be a snore fest.
Really?
Oh, it's like it's Elton John and his new song, and it's Pentatonix and singing this, and it's. Ooh. It's what's her name singing Frozen in front of Disney's California Adventure, and it's just it's like half hour of just nails in my head.
Wow, yeah, I gotta agree with you there.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Disneyland, I love Disney, but you know,
even Harrison Ford can't sell that one.
Well, yeah, it just feels like it's like the greatest hits of everything you don't watch on Disney Blu-ray special features. It's a lot of popular bands that you may or may not have heard of, but supposedly they're popular singing. There's like some dance routine with somebody from Dancing with the Stars, and I was like, nope. I'll record it and fast forward.
That's not sweetening the deal.
They're
going in the opposite direction for you.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be some big Star Wars extravaganza, but no. I'm out.
So the Star Wars element is Harrison Ford, right? And that's basically it?
Yeah, they'll probably shoehorn it halfway in just so you get stuck.
Yeah.
Or even the very end, who knows?
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it wait till you read the list.
All right, well, Mark, I think I'm going to give you an opportunity here to just make your awesome, always accurate predictions. Yoda was almost in The Force Awakens, not just a voice. Well, I hesitate to say almost. He was considered to be in The Force Awakens, not as just a voice, but as a character who we see, you know, Frank Oz coming in doing new lines. I would guess they would CGI the Force Ghost Yoda into the movie. Didn't make it to the final version of the film, but that has strengthened a lot of discussion about Yoda and his ghost being in Episode 8. So, Mark, where is your bold prediction about what all this means?
You put me on the spot.
Yes.
Quick question. Is Johnson a prequel lover? Well, you know what? Never mind. Because to have Yoda in it, you don't have to even worry about any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. But you're gonna have a puppet Yoda that looks a lot like Empire Strikes Back, and they might add some CGI to it, and he's gonna be a ghost, and so it doesn't. He's probably telling Luke to do something. I could see it. I mean, why wouldn't they put him in there? But is the story going to have – is the story – the thing is, I mean, they may plan it, but if it's edited like The Force Awakens where it's kind of everything is just fast, 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 then there may not be time to sit there and really hear what Yoda has to say.
That's true. Unless like Yoda's like central to the story and like ghost Yoda's in on the action.
I don't think he would be because is anybody – is anybody really looking forward to hear what Yoda has to say after Return of the Jedi?
Well, no, especially for if you want to see Yoda on screen again, I feel like you want to see a standalone, like whatever, 10 years down the line when they start doing stuff that is more prequel, you know, like. But I don't know. I don't think there's any way we're gonna see a huge presence of Force Ghost Yoda, but it'd be nice to see a little bit, I think.
And it would probably fit in because I don't think it will be as fast-paced action cut as The Force Awakens was. I think I'm assuming that this will take a slower pace, more not to mirror Empire, but I think it will have a more spiritual aspect, like the whole not religious side of the Force, but mystical element as opposed to the action side of things.
Yeah, I could see that. We have to slow down after everything that just happened in The Force Awakens.
Right.
Yeah, unless it becomes like the Transformers franchise, it can't just be constant breakneck speed. Like, they've got to have some. The next one can't be as fast paced as Force Awakens. I enjoyed it, but they've got to slow down a little bit and take a breather.
And plus, it's almost like The Force Awakens is kind of a prequel to Episode 8. And I mean that as in it's setting the stage for what's going to happen now. So I feel like they caught up kind of quickly, but now they're going to start focusing more on the characters and the story. Not that they didn't in The Force Awakens, but I think there's going to be more in depth, I feel.
Yeah, certainly.
They got the heavy lifting out of the way. you know who Finn is, you know who Poe is, you know the dynamic of everything. You don't have to be introduced to Rey and find out all her backstory, although it will come, but you now know who the characters are, so they can pretty much take their time, sort of like Empire Strikes Back. You know, you don't have to introduce really anybody new, although I'm sure you'll get somebody. But it's just one of those things to where the pieces are already in place, and now you just have a unique story to tell.
And there's still a lot to do. You know, and you're right that the pieces are all there, but we haven't seen, you know, very much interaction with any of these new characters and Leia yet, or anyone and Luke, and you know, and Poe and Rey haven't shared any screen time together. There's a whole lot left to explore with the pieces they have set up. I think you're right, and I don't think there's any reason to rush it the same way, because they don't need to set the table really quick and show us all the new pieces at once, because they're already there, and we have time to kind of enjoy them.
And it can still be fresh, because like you were saying, the new character dynamics that we haven't seen on screen yet, it'll be familiar because we know the characters, but their interactions are going to be new.
See, I'm more curious if Maz Kanata's coming back. You know, we're talking about Yoda, but she kind of fulfilled that role a little bit, you know, in The Force Awakens. And, you know, seeing all the stuff or the reports about what was filmed or planned and you know, cut out at the last minute with her using the Force and, you know, her making it all the way to the Resistance base. I mean, I'd be curious if they bring her back or if she's just done.
If they've made it seem like that she's going to come back, but again, like we don't know that for certain. I would really hope to see her in both Episode 8 and the and hopefully 9. You know, if we see her in 8 and she survives and it's still important to the story, but also in the Han Solo standalone, just as Han's mentor, it only makes sense, I think, to see her in that setting and to make use of her character in The Force Awakens as a way to bridge across all eras we've seen so far in the new canon, because having had that watering hole for 100 years, you know, or for 1,000 years, she is set to interact with Clone Wars era characters, with pre-Clone Wars, with anywhere in the prequels or Han's origins. And I think that I think she's a rich resource that hopefully we'll see her in the future, both in stories that take place later on post Force Awakens and anywhere else. I would really like to see more of her.
Well, that's, and she call. Has in The Force Awakens, she has such a call to fight against, she, you know, talked about the Sith, the Empire, and now it's the First Order, and she's telling everybody, you know, you got to go out and fight them, so why wouldn't she?
Good call.
Especially if she has this kind of reunion with the Resistance, she has a reason to be there because of Han, you know.
When she lost her watering hole, so she has no place right. to retreat. Mm-hmm.
Right, so I can see her wanting to take an active role in doing something and not just sitting around.
I think it'd be cool, and especially because it would be a way to show even more diversification of the Force. You know, we already have whatever it is that Kylo and Snoke are, because I don't think it's necessarily the Knights of Ren that is their new dark side. I mean, we all assumed that, I think, to start. I think that might just be his cronies, you know, or whatever, or his personal security force, because Snoke doesn't appear to necessarily be directly involved with that, and they're not all lightsabered up or anything. So I don't know. I feel like we're getting that new version on the dark side, and it'd be cool to have Maz as a new unaffiliated version on the light side. And we missed her using the Force, but then again, did we? We missed, they cut the action scene, but I still feel like it was more of a passive use of it. But she was up to it, you know, when she was analyzing Finn and Rey. And yeah. I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing her more. I think it'd be a huge missed opportunity to not use her again.
Although, going back to Mark's point, it would be interesting to see the dynamic if Yoda is in Episode 8 and Maz is in Episode 8. Since they have a similar type role, it'd be interesting to see right. how they made them both work.
Jilted exes is what you're saying, right?
No, I mean, she's got Chewie.
I was going to say, total other element right there.
Oh, yeah. They need their own episode of Maury to work that out. No, I was going to say, I think, you know, I don't think that would really even be similar at all. Maz's role and Yoda's. If Yoda was in Episode 8, clearly he'd be, I mean, obviously he'd be a Force ghost, and it would probably be used pretty sparingly, I would hope. I hope they don't pull like a Star Wars Rebels and just bring him back, and he's now part of the team as a Force ghost. but Maz, on the other hand, like you said, either she's gonna be like in it to like have a more involved role, or she's gonna be less advisory and more of like I don't want to say like antagonistic, but like sort of the antithesis of like Leia, where Leia would be like the reserved leader, Maz would be like the one that's over here like giving advice but like cracking jokes, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I could see them sort of like not butting heads, but sort of like being opposites for the heroes. Maz obviously seems a lot more chill than Leia, in my opinion. But I don't think Maz would really want to have that big of a role. I don't think she would be down for that. I think she would go find another place to hide out, personally.
And just encourage everyone else to go fight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's weird. It's weird because, like, she says conflicting things. Like, when Han comes to her and he tells her that she has to, you know, get this droid to Leia, she's like, oh, you're right back in the mess, as if it's, like, a bad thing, as if it's not really smart, as if Han is kind of stupid, you know? But then, like you said, she's encouraging Finn to go and fight and to save his friends and take up his role, and the same with Rey. So she wants to push all the young people out into the fight. I think she wants to like kind of chill on her own and do her thing.
Yeah, she's pushing people to fight while she's mixing drinks.
You can't have that in your montage, Mark.
Was she gonna mix up some protein shakes? Oh man! Well, Ray's getting buff.
No, she's trying to work out a like a retirement community. She's like, no, Han, you gotta chill out and hang out with me. We'll just send all the young kids to die.
There you go.
and he should have listened because...
Cashing those social security checks.
Hey, can I say real quick that Jared's sick voice is damn sexy?
I don't hear any difference. So I guess Jared always sounds sexy.
All right, I will take it. I will take both of these. Either way.
Mac Vader. Right there. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Take as much time to dwell on that as you would like. Have you dwelt enough on it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I almost dropped an F-bomb because I want you to edit me.
there's time for that. our last point of discussion for the non-spoiler section was Rogue One merchandise at the Toy Fair, which is coming up, I believe, weekend after next, I think. Apparently Hasbro said that they will not have any merchandise there Star Wars related, but another company, I don't have it written down, I can't remember who it is now, but there was another company who said that they might, or like they sent out an email to some people saying that they would be there with Star Wars products. And I don't remember if they named Rogue One or if that's the assumption, but the idea going around is that there will be Rogue One toys or merchandise of some sort at Toy Fair. What kinds of things are you expecting to see? Think we'll get character figures, like Black Series types of things, even though Hasbro won't do it? Or we're looking at, you know, calendars, or what kinds of things are we looking at?
I think you might see like Legos, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good call.
Isn't it a little bit ridiculous that we would see any sort of toy before we have a trailer?
Well, you predicted we'll get the trailer with Harrison Ford, so...
Look, that wasn't me. That was my alter ego.
There was Schmark.
Yes. Just like Snoke. I don't know. I mean, the thing is like, now's the time to really show it because the Toy Fair is only once a year. You know, this is the good time to... But see, then you've got San Diego, and San Diego is almost like a mini Toy Fair in and of itself. So,
San Diego's where you're going to get the Hasbro Black Series stuff, I would imagine, or Celebration.
Yeah, you're probably right, or Celebration because they're right around the same time this year.
Yeah, I found the company. It's called Vandor. So I'm trying to look at what of some of their products are.
Man, that sounds like bullshit. Like they were just standing by a van.
Vandor.
Like I was walking around trying to think of what kind of company I wanna have, and this guy opened a door from a van and smacked me and knocked me on the sidewalk, and it hit me literally. Vandor.
Okay, so they do basically like travel mugs, coffee cups, water jugs, all that kind of jazz. And they already have a few Star Wars things. Like, they have some BB-8 stuff. They have some Force Awakens, Yoda.
That could be where real news starts from Vandor, because we saw the C-3PO red arm for the first time on that weird mug in Mexico, or the cozy or whatever that was.
Right. That is true. I thought it was something that holds a drink. I don't know. Who cares? But yes, very valid point, Jared.
Yeah, but do you think that they would at a fair? It's one thing to have this thing in a Mexican store versus at a fair have a character reveal on a cup or a mug or something.
They're going to have to run it by Lucasfilm. And if Lucasfilm says, look, you guys aren't showing anything, then they won't show anything. They'll just show Force Awakens stuff again.
I guess I'm kind of inclined to say, yeah, it's going to be Force Awakens stuff. And if they have anything Rogue One, it's just going to be like that, the wording logo that we've already seen.
Yeah. Well, according to this article that I'm reading, they said that they would have things from that movie. Okay. So, it might not be much more than, like you said, like a logo
or X-Wing.
Yeah, maybe. It's definitely not going to be more than like the characters that we've already seen. It's going to be Felicity Jones in that same costume that we've already seen, just in a different pose.
Yeah.
You know? And then a water bottle.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so yeah, I guess it's more merchandise based and less, you know, toy based, even though they're at Toy Fair.
They don't care. Make that money.
Yeah. Okay, well, unfortunately, Mark, I did not use the spoiler section sound effect last time because you did it so well. So I kind of want to use it again, though, so nothing personal.
It's fine.
But we're going to go into our spoiler section here.
I can't believe you're cutting Mark's awesome spoiler section.
Well, I mean, no, he can do it, too. Just I'm going to do it anyway. It'll be repetitive. So.
No, I'm good.
Spoiler section.
Hey, can I take 1 second to call out Tim for writing Lucasfilm with a capital F? What is wrong with you?
That's copying it off of a certain website.
Uh-huh, sure, uh-huh.
That I will not name.
Nice try, Tim.
No, seriously, though, it really is a copy.
No, is it from my website?
Maybe.
Because it probably is.
Yeah, it might be the... I didn't write it, though, so don't blame me.
Did you add an S at the end, too?
Yeah, let me find out who wrote that article so I can fire somebody real quick.
Lucasfilm.
Ron!
You know it's Ron.
Ron doesn't do any work. What are you talking about?
Unboxing videos.
Sad thing is, you know,
the article when Henwick is announced to not be.
Oh, it's from the article. It's not even us. It's from the Dubrovnik Times.
It was a quote from it.
Yes, it was a quote.
Okay, so I just quoted a quote. So
some random other nobody wrote it wrong. We're all perfect. It's okay.
Yay!
Move along.
No one's getting fired. So with that, I'm probably going to butcher some of the names here. But for this spoiler section, we are going to talk about how, you know, I'm not even going to say it. The mayor of this place in Croatia.
Dubrovnik?
Yes. The mayor for that place. he's going to make an official visit to the United States and to Lucasfilm per the report of, I think it was a local magazine over there. And I think it also said that he's going to visit with George Lucas. So, Jason was the one who wrote this for MakingStarWars.net, and he said to kind of, you know, take this with a grain of salt, because who knows if he would be meeting with George Lucas, you know, what that might take away from the credibility of the report. But it is still interesting, considering that it was already reported that they will be in Croatia to do some filming. So the fact that he might be coming here to meet with Lucasfilm, you know, it was worthy of note.
Well, this guy, I mean, this guy's not probably not like a huge Star Wars fan. So like some guy in another country saying like, oh, I'm going to America, I'm going to Lucasfilm, I'm going to meet George Lucas. He might not know for sure that George Lucas is going to be there. He just assumes that Lucas is there all the time because maybe he doesn't know everything that's going on with Lucasfilm.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, it could.
He's using his company's money to get a trip to or his country's money or his city's money to get a trip to America. He's happy.
Yeah, maybe he's also planning to go to Chicago to see George Lucas. We don't know.
He's going to Disneyland. He's going to ride Star Tours. News topic ever.
That wasn't a news topic.
Well, okay, so
spoiler topic.
Okay, well, I mean, what does this mean? Obviously, this is probably somewhere that they might want to film for the long run, or might want to have the option to film there a lot. Like, why would you do all this back and forth discussion so extensively and make it such a big deal if it was just going to be like, oh, we have one scene there, and move on, you know? Right?
Yeah, and if they've already agreed to film there, which is why it was already reported, mm-hmm. there might not be a reason to meet unless, like you said, they're looking for down the road already.
Or if he's just trying to use this to get big press or something. Like Mark
saying.
This guy's
name dropping.
Like, if he's just like, hey, guys, I'm friends with George Lucas. Do you guys know that?
Yeah,
they elect me.
But this city already is a filming location for Game of Thrones. A huge one. It's King's Landing, which is one of the main sets in every episode of the seasons. So they have plenty of publicity already for their city. They probably have huge tourism boosts just from
good call.
That.
That's a good call.
I mean,
he might just be milking the Star Wars acquisition for as much as he can. But you're right. Like with all that architecture there, I mean, it's possible it's going to be a long term location. And like the Snoke's secret headquarters or something. I'm going to blame cold medication for that.
That's a good thought, though. I hadn't thought about Snoke's place.
A lot of what the speculation I've heard is that it's a secondary location for Octo, which, you know, it may or may not be. I think just people are seeing parallels in some of the aspects of the region, but
yeah.
it very well could be something completely new.
I want a sign that says Snoke's Place in front of Snoke's Place. In neon.
Or like matching restroom signs, like ladies and Snoke's.
Yes.
I'm like on the door, no Jedi allowed.
Like a kid's fort. I love it. Oh, Mr. Sanders, the backwards S. He's like Winnie the Pooh. Now I like Snoke all of a sudden.
Snoke is actually just in the film.
Dude, that's totally how he wormed his way into Kylo's heart. He was his imaginary friend.
Well, yeah, because we know how emo Kylo Ren got, and he didn't like his parents, so, yeah, hey.
No, he's a hologram. Oh, my gosh, it's perfect.
Okay, well, I doubt that really quite belonged in the spoiler section of things, but...
You put it there.
Well, there it is, yeah. Next topic, we're kind of moving along here, but our next topic is about Episode 8, potential casting. It's been reported that Ewan McGregor has been reportedly in talks with Disney personnel about an appearance in Episode 8. We already talked about the potential for having Yoda involved in Episode 8, and of course one of the older rumors for Episode 8 is about Hayden Christensen being in the movie. So let's just take all three of these, and just for conversation's sake, let's say that they all happen. We have Hayden Christensen, Ewan McGregor, and Frank Oz as Yoda, all Force ghosts in Episode 8.
I can't remember if it was the unaired episode of ours or not, but I remember I speculated that Luke has conversations with the three of them that Rey can't see, and this would be perfect for that.
Yeah, yeah, it would be.
It'd be too much, though.
Oh, shut up, Mark.
I feel like you could do it in a serious way, because like, that could show if he's just been there for like 25 years or 15 years or whatever by himself with the ghost of his dad who he never knew, and his mentor who lied to him, and his other mentor who's crazy and spoke backwards and lied to him. It's like, I don't know, man. It could really illustrate Luke's insanity in a not evil way.
Let's just have like my dinner with Andre, but all four of them, you know, just
I like this.
Screw it. 2 hours of Luke and Force ghosts on Skellig Mikkel just chilling and talking about what went wrong or what to do. You know, you start introducing him talking to all these three people. I think you want Luke to be just a little bit, you know, his own person by now.
No, absolutely.
And if he's constantly talking to these three guys who already, excuse me, who already messed everything up, you know, let him be his own man. He can't constantly be asking for help or, you know.
Mark,
although
Mark. He's been alone for 30 plus years.
That's his choice.
But what if this is like the new Jedi Council, three dead guys and Luke?
That's a TV show right there.
They should dress up guys. Like the ghosts from the Haunted Mansion.
You go buy in a cart and one of them gets in here.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of understand what Mark is saying about it being like too much. But I think it would be too much if it was used incorrectly. Like,
okay.
I think if you had Hayden Christensen Force Ghost on screen for honestly for more than a couple of seconds, like a 25 second conversation, that'd be too much. Like, some interactions are going to be too powerful to really be meaningful if you overuse them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, Ron's going to make fun of me for saying that. but like, as far as like, like Yoda, I don't know. I could watch Yoda talk about shit all day and all night. Obi-Wan, I think Luke probably wants to be like rubbing in his face that he was wrong, that he did everything right. So I could see him like talking to them occasionally, but I do think that the Hayden Christensen Anakin Force Ghost thing is probably the least likely to happen, just because it might be over the top too much.
Well, just a quick side note here, I saw a picture someone made in like a Photoshop type thing where they basically superimposed Ewan McGregor's face on Alec Guinness. It looked fantastic, didn't it?
It's creepy.
It looked amazing.
We'll have to send you a link because it's really creepy. It works perfect. I feel like on a serious note on it, like I think it does work as a one-time thing. It's like you're saying, Mark, we want him to be standing on his own, but you could think that whatever brought Rey to him, whether or not she's related, you know, bringing this lightsaber and the kind of implication that this is the direct will of the Force, I feel like that's a good excuse for them to come back and say something to him, you know, for him to see them once again in a moment of great significance. Because you'd hope that a full-grown Luke, you know, wasn't just consulting with them on everything, you know, the whole time. And I don't know. I think there's logic to that.
Well, here's another thing. Would all three ghosts be on screen at the same time if they're all in it? Or would they, you know, one at a time, two in one? How would they divide it also?
At least for the big dance number, they should all be on.
Well, that's what I was saying. If they were all together on screen at the same time, it might be too much.
I could see that.
But you guys keep saying that, like, Luke talking with these ghosts is, like, you know, like, he needs to be a man and be on his own and shit like that. But we have to remember, every Jedi has always had counsel.
Absolutely.
In the canon. Like, even Yoda had Qui-Gon to help him, you know, with stuff in the Jedi Council. So it's not, like, out of the ordinary for him to be getting counsel.
And Luke's by himself, so he might need
that. Okay, but how great was the Jedi Council? How great was the counsel that the Jedi gave each other? They really
okay,
helped.
But
it worked for
a
quite
reasons
a few years.
Other than that, I mean, they had weird backwards rules and philosophies that went much deeper than just the fact that they talked to each other. And
plus, people always talk about, like, you're absolutely right, Amanda, and people always talk about how, you know, people, I don't know, the Jedi should be able to sense these things or whatnot, and but, like, Luke and Leia, he had no idea that they were twins. It seemed like the Council had no idea they existed, even though they interacted with Padme in that time. And there's been the explanation that the whole reason they've been manipulated by the dark side was because they were built on top of a Sith shrine. It's like there's extenuating circumstances where these guys, I don't think, were unwise assholes. I think they were being really they were being manipulated by a Machiavellian supervillain who's portrayed as pretty much perfect until he gets knocked down a peg in the very end and everything always goes right for him. I mean, he plays both sides throughout the entire prequel trilogy and the Clone Wars, and I think that he was kind of set up to be undefeatable, and you can't really blame the Jedi Council for giving awful, shitty advice all the time, because, like Amanda said, there's dogma and stupid rules that are ancient that they were trying to follow and fit in with their job to work with the Republic, which is never, you know, explicitly laid out. You know, they're supposed to be an independent organization that operates on their own set of rules, but they also bow down to the Republic and their will, and there's some contradiction in terms there, right? A pacifistic, you know, monastic order that it takes it upon themselves to defend people being turned into an army is very different. And I don't know, I really love those characters, and I wouldn't mind seeing them. And I think you're right, Amanda, it's not a weakness for them to take advice from them. I do see where Mark, and I've heard other people talk about it before, you know, the perception that he's just constantly, just like he was in Return of the Jedi, just getting advice from these two or three guys all the time, it does sort of undercut his ability to, I think, operate on his own. So, but doing it occasionally, especially in moments of great significance, I think isn't a weakness at all. It would be just a cool way to use the fact that there are Force ghosts. And you made me think when you mentioned them not being all on at the same time, you know, the two of them could appear to Luke like they always did, and Kylo could see Vader or Anakin.
Yeah.
And it could not be a Force ghost, but he could have a vision of them. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think we remember things a little bit exaggerated too. Like, Luke didn't really talk to them a lot. Every time he interacted with Obi-Wan and Yoda together, it was on Dagobah, which we now know is a conduit for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then the other times that Obi-Wan appeared to him was when he was in dire need of help, like trying to blow up the Death Star and like almost being dead. So it's not, I mean, I guess the times that he spoke to them in Force Ghost form seemed like a lot, but that was probably just because we were seeing it condensed into two films.
They do show up for a party, though.
Yeah, they do. Well, they don't stick around.
They don't hang out. Yeah, they don't show them dancing with the Ewoks. Like they just give a head nod and then pass on.
You know, it would honestly work though if you have all three of them on the screen at one time. It would honestly work if Rey comes into the middle of a conversation.
That's what I've been saying.
Yeah.
Sorry, brother. I'm. It's hot in this room. You know, so you don't have to have the full exposition. It's more like you see them, you hear the trail end of what they're saying, and then it's done.
I like that.
You know, yeah. So then you can legitimately have all three on screen at one time. It wouldn't feel ridiculous, and then it leads her to ask him, like, you know, what the hell's going on? What was that?
Yeah, and by the way, Amanda, I did send you the picture of Ewan Guinness, if you want to check that out.
I saw it, yeah. That's really cool.
It's crazy. But going back to even if Luke already knows what he's doing and completely he's aware he's making his own decisions, it can still be a good tool for people to use, especially when they're alone, not just in their ranks, but like physically alone, to bounce their ideas just for confirmation off of the people who trained them. Or yes. you know, my father, basically.
Let's not forget, too, Kanan and Ezra seeking out counsel from the Jedi Temple as well.
Yeah.
They weren't alone.
Right.
Oh, Yoda's always there. He's chilling.
Good call. As long as it is like moment, like you said, the way it's depicted, these important moments and not, you know, like a weekly game of bridge between the four of them or something, I think it works.
Pinochle.
Oh, man. Pinochle, jeez.
When was the last time any of you guys played that?
I'm not old enough.
I'm not even old enough.
I feel really old then right now.
I might have played it with my grandparents like in the late 80s, visiting them in Sun City, which is an actual retirement city in Phoenix area. You can't
wow. Well, I mean, hey, it's Arizona. Got to be sun.
I played bridge once, and that's one of those things you always used to see in Isle of Lucy. They'd have bridge parties.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever played bridge.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was, but I remember my grandma playing bridge with me.
See, now I want to see Maz and the Force Ghosts playing bridge together.
Yeah.
And Chewie walks in all jealous. All right, well.
He's making snacks.
Bringing in the pretzels. Our other thing we were going to talk about moving on to Rogue One is about the Rogue One Stormtroopers. Because it looks like we're going to see some new varieties that were not present in the movies of the original trilogy. So, of course, Donnie Yen put out that Instagram picture a while back, and he had three Stormtrooper helmets. The one in the middle was classic white original trilogy Stormtrooper, but the two on either end were new. One looks kind of like a Scout Trooper helmet, but beige, and then the other one is, it's really interesting. It looks really different, but it's black and shiny, almost like a Shadow Trooper, but different design. But what we're seeing is coming from makingstarwars.net, which is that I think the one on the right that I was talking about before, the beige looking one, it's a combination of a Scout Trooper with other Stormtrooper parts in the design. They were called Sand Troopers on set, It has a lot of soft parts, like a scout trooper, including similar chest armor, but more narrow around the hips, which, by the way, whoever the designer is on this movie, good idea. It has the same knee pad as the classic stormtrooper. It has some accent color, like dark red on a panel. And then the black stormtroopers he's hearing are called death troopers. And apparently this quote is that the green lights look really cool against the black armor. And underneath that, in an update, it says the green lights come from lamps that are sort of in the position where the stormtroopers' speakers are not the eyes, which was a misunderstanding. But anyway.
Do you understand what that means? So it's not the eyes that are shining green. It's the little things like where you would hook the hoses if it was a TIE fighter pilot, but it looks like a little mic speaker kind of
close
thing.
But below
on each side, and there's only one. There's only one on the Force Awakens guys. Yeah.
So that's the part that's glowing green.
Which I think that's. I think they look fantastic. They're shining black armor with. I'm imagining a darker green light. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, sounds cool. Sounds scary.
Well, in addition to scary, they're physically intimidating because they were looking for actors about 6'3". So that would be pretty tall, pretty big, pretty intimidating. If you compare it to the stormtroopers in The Force Awakens, they're about 5'10". Of course, all this from makingstarwars.net.
They say that, what do you call it, that Mark Hamill's a little short for a stormtrooper, but that's exactly the right size.
Is he 5'10" exactly?
Yeah, he and I think he and Boyega are both 5'10".
No, John Boyega is shorter than that.
Is he? Are they 5'9" maybe?
Let me look it up. This is why we have the internet at our fingers. Mark Hamill's 5'9".
I thought they were the same height.
Let me see. You might be right.
So they're 1 inch. Yeah. They're 1 inch shorter. That's like she could tell. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I can't even tell an inch if you hold a ruler in front of my face.
Yeah, that feels preposterous to me. I have a family of men who tell people they're an inch taller than they are.
So, John,
it does just feel off a little bit, though. You know, I mean, yeah, an inch is really nothing, but for whatever reason, you know, when John Boyega's on the screen as a stormtrooper, you just tell something's off.
No, you are right.
Build or something, but
I think I think it's his build too. He's stocky, and they had him like muscle up too, so his arms and shoulders were huge for what would normally be in, I think, that sort of armor.
Like, yeah, he looks shorter, like, because proportionately he's wider.
Yeah,
and his helmet looks large.
He looks like he has no neck when he's wearing it.
Right. Well, what'd you find out, Amanda?
They're both 5'9". Was I supposed to be looking up something else?
No, that's correct.
Yeah.
So I was right, but they were the same height, but I was off. Yeah. They're an inch too short to be stormtroopers. But no, that is interesting that they're going to be taller. Like, you know, maybe they're special lackeys of Vader's.
You know, I'm always excited for, you know, the stormtroopers, and, you know, their look in general is one of my favorite things about, you know, the Star Wars films, whether it's clone troopers, stormtroopers, you name it. And so for me, one of the great things about Revenge of the Sith was just the different varied stormtrooper markings that you had, or the clone troopers, excuse me. So I think with this, you know, it's always great to see some difference, you know, whether it's a sand trooper or, you know, a snow trooper, biker scout, TIE pilot, whatever. If we've got now, you know, what are the death troopers?
Yeah.
If we've got death troopers and whatever that biker scout looking sand dude is, that's great. It's something else. And, you know, I'm sure people will accuse Lucasfilm of catering to toy lines. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting a varied type of troopers, in my opinion.
Well, it would make sense with the story because you've got a vast, huge military with the Empire. They're not all going to look like your standard stormtroopers. They're just not. Right. They have different purposes.
Yeah, I'm with Mark. That's my favorite thing, too, is the variation on them.
Love it.
Wait, I think, is it the Visual Dictionary? One of the books that's supposed to be, you know, canon and whatnot, that was not a prose story. It had something about, like, you know, we saw the snowtroopers and the fire troopers and all this, but there's probably a lot of other variations too. Like, it basically said, like, just get ready for more stuff in episode eight, the others.
Yeah, and I remember it's, that.
And it is partially because of the toys. I think that, you know, with the Batman the Animated Series, with the discussion of that show and them being told to write stories to create new costumes for Batman because they thought kids only wanted different variations of the main character, not different characters. They refer to it as toyetic, and I think that that's a little bit at play, but it's always been there. I mean, the whole design of Boba Fett evolved from them trying to come up with a super trooper, trying to come up with a new cool version of the stormtrooper, like a commando. And I think that it's because we like that idea, and like you said, Tim, it's logical. Like, in the military, there are variations. There are commandos. There's SEALs. There's everything you can imagine. You know, all these guys who have specialized jobs and have different costumes. The stormtroopers will. But they have different uniforms and different equipment because of these specialized jobs. It's logical. It makes sense in story. It looks cool. Let's go for it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think the most important thing is that it looks cool because it's a movie, so it has to look cool and it has to not take you out of the movie. And I definitely think they're going to look really cool from the picture Donnie Yen put up. And I don't see how new stormtroopers, as long as they look like stormtroopers, which they do, I don't see how it's going to take you out of the movie. So I don't see why there would be any issues.
Yeah, if they come out looking like a Transformer, that's one thing. Or like if it's just something completely weird. But I have faith, especially, I don't know, everything about Edwards talking about Rogue One feels right to me.
Also, it's interesting just to note quickly, we talked about this previously, the bounty hunters bounty hunter type in Rogue One who will have some just another aspect of interesting new costumes. So I think it's going to look good. I think the costume designer's got a heck of a challenge, but it's going to look good.
Yeah.
And our last thing is it's a small moment from Rogue One.
Kind of with the model?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, there's not a whole lot that's given away here, but it's kind of cool because it just gives you, well, like I said, it's a small moment. It's just a brief look at something from the movie because we don't have anything yet as far as like a trailer or promotional pictures other than that one. So this description came from Jedi News originally. It says that a model named Vivian Westwood.
No.
No?
That's the designer that she worked with, but that's not her name.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Worked with Vivian. Yeah. I need to read. Where is it? Eunice Alamide? Is that right?
Great job. Who knows?
We'll go with it. So Eunice here. She's a model. She's a Scottish supermodel, actually. And she has a part in Rogue One. And according to her, this is a quote from her. She said, "I did a small feature in Star Wars Rogue One. That was a really awesome experience. I don't have lines, but it was an incredible experience to be part of such an iconic film. I was originally supposed to play a nomad, but since I am athletic, I ended up playing a rebellion leader. There's a small scene where I run up, and there's a tank that comes after me with 20 stormtroopers. There's loads of explosions. And I keep getting a fright whenever the explosions kept getting a fright whenever the explosions went off. So I think that's just interesting, seeing a person run away with 20 stormtroopers and a tank following the person. That's an impressive thing to visualize.
Sounds cool. You sounded impressed with that one though, Tim, not like you did with the AT-ATs.
Okay, seriously, those were so cool. I really like that.
That's my last time. Because I do believe you, but
yeah, I was impressed with what Mark said. So I was helping him, trying to visualize it, trying to make it work because it was a good idea.
Helping
Mark.
Him by sounding.
Can we stop saying AT-AT? Because I cringe every time I hear it.
I like the logic though. We don't call them ATs. It's
they're AT-ATs.
What about AT-ATs?
No,
dude, I'm always diplomatic, Tim, but that's stupid.
Well, I mean, we're both happy that way, right? Or nobody's happy. Either way,
that's the way to solve it. It's some Samsonian wisdom right there. It was cut the baby in half. No one's happy.
Wow, you just got biblical on us.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so that I guess that wraps up our non-spoiler section. We talked about Rogue One. It's been a long day, you know that? We did wrap that up, actually, so I technically got that right. We just wrapped it up a while back, and we just now wrapped up our spoiler discussion.
You were getting to it. I skipped ahead.
Yeah, stop cutting me off, Jared. Also, there was a picture. This is just a complete side note. There was a picture recently that came out with Mark Hamill, and his beard watch is in full swing. He seems to be completely back because they're beginning filming. So
he does. He has a giant beard. None of those other guys have giant beards that he was with in the picture. So the hashtag beard watch thing was kind of funny.
All right. So then our last thing we're going to talk about came from an email. I sent you guys the link to read up on some stuff. The email we have reads, "Hey guys, Josiah Ward here. I recently wrote an article where I present my fun theory about how Ezra could be Rey's father. I don't personally believe it will ever happen, but I still believe there is a way for it to happen. It's hard to give all my reasons in a short email, so and I sent you guys the link to his full article."
Right.
And he says, yeah, go ahead and read the article. He's at Josiah4311. You can find the link there, and that is a shameless plug, according to Josiah. Anyway, I love the pod. You guys really flow well together. Keep it up. So, what do you guys think?
Yes, thank you, Josiah. I think it's an interesting idea. Like, because of some of the stuff Filoni said, I don't think anything that big is going to lead out of Rebels. But I think that would be the perfect kind of connection to tell the backstory. They should be using these extra tie-in materials to tell the backstory of new characters. It's why I think it'd be interesting, you know, if Felicity Jones turned out to be Rey's mom or Luke's, you know, spouse in that situation. I think you could do the same sort of thing by filling in the backstory and filling in the pieces with these standalone pieces and tie-in media.
Yeah,
hey, cat.
That's my cat. Named Minch after Lee Brackett's first draft of Empire's Yoda.
So Minch was saying that she doesn't like Rebels, huh?
Yeah, no, Minch does not enjoy Rebels.
Yeah, I feel like for Josiah, who wrote that, I felt like he wrote that very well, and he has some very good thought processes behind it, and I appreciated that. The thing is, as far as I'm concerned, and this is also what Josiah said, but I feel like we have more of a chance, as opposed to Ezra being Rey's father, I think it's more likely that when Luke is talking to Force Ghost, Anakin, and Yoda, and Obi-Wan, Force Ghost Jar Jar walks out into the middle as well. I just don't really see that happening. So, but what you wrote out was very good. Good thought process.
Yeah, man, I enjoyed the article. I just don't think that anything significant will come of Rebels as far as
the Raider saga.
Yeah, I think it's more of when it is good, it's fan service. But ultimately, it doesn't have that great of an impact on anything going forward. I don't know. I don't want to talk. I want to talk Rebels. I don't want to talk Rebels because, you know, I don't want people like covering their ears and saying no, I can't hear you because I may have something negative to say, but. That seems to be the sympathy or the thought on the internet lately is that nobody likes to hear, you know, thoughts that are critical of the show. And so I don't know. It's ridiculous.
I get it from both sides, though. You know, like because I see people who enjoy it seeing a bunch of negativity because it felt like that was the prevailing sentiment and the people who I follow and engage with. I mean, most of you guys don't like it really at all for the most part. And
I don't hate it.
No, I don't hate it. I know you don't. And I agree with you, man. Like I say all the time, it was the same way when Force Awakens came out. And a lot of people who had criticisms that weren't hating and nitpicking were being like kind of torn apart by a lot of people who are usually positive. And I think it's the same. It should be the same way. Like Rebels has flaws and we have to be able to acknowledge them. Nothing, like you said last week, nothing can be sacrosanct because otherwise, what's the point? You know, like we have to be able to look at it for what it really is.
But I think to pretty much, you know, cover your ears and refuse to read any criticism of it, respectful or not, you know, you're hiding your head in the sand. I honestly thought, you know, and we tend to talk about Rebels at least once an episode, but I thought the latest one was pretty good.
You know, I enjoyed it a lot.
Mm-hmm. We've all talked about the music. The music was amazing. It was something that was a great departure from you know, what had come before. And I've never had a problem with Kiner's music whatsoever, but it, you know, I was kind of halfway doing something else for a minute. And, you know, I was in bed watching it and I was like, whoa, what's going on here with this music? This is pretty damn good and different. But I think, you know, if I'm supposed to be, or if I'm looking at the show critically, my thing that I talked with Amanda about is that what did we gain from, you know, Zeb in this? You know, the main point of his whole character was that he was sort of the last of his race. And now he's not.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So now it almost feels like perhaps the character's gone backwards. What's made him unique, he's now, there's a whole homeworld of them. And, you know, it's kind of like, I'm not sure if any of you watch The Flash or not. Do any of you watch the TV show The Flash?
I'm familiar with
some of it.
Well, the whole first season was him trying to get his dad out of jail. That's all he wanted. And so finally, he gets his dad out of jail, and his dad just says, all right, cool, thanks. And his dad disappears off the show.
No, yeah, no, the justification doesn't make any sense. It's like, right. You gotta live your own life. You spent your whole life trying to save me, and I've just been missing you, and so goodbye. Like, right. it doesn't make any sense.
And so in this situation, you know, you always get a sense that Zeb has felt, you know, a longing for his people. He's, what made him a character is that he's sort of the last of his race. And so now he finds out, there's a whole world of my people out there. I'm just gonna hang out with you guys, though.
Well, but I did feel like they gave a much better fake BS explanation. You know, the reason is to guide any other survivors to be sort of their compass home. I think it's kind of really nice and fits in with some of the Star Wars classical, you know, mythological kind of themes. But I don't disagree that it is a bit of a MacGuffin. It's a bit of a BS reason for it.
You know, it's in the same sort of situation to where this sort of, you know, with Ezra's character, it's like he's looking for his parents. He thinks his parents are alive, and that's sort of driving him as a character. And it's like, guess what? No, they're dead. And it's like, well, okay, so what did we spend our whole time, you know, feeling with you, looking for your parents, and now they're dead?
The rug keeps getting pulled out from under you, and you feel it keeps happening. I know, I can see that.
Well, it almost feels like there could have been time better spent, you know, if you establish that his characters are dead. Now let's concentrate on building his, you know, personality in other ways. Let's take that Ezra is a character who's alone. He's an orphan. His parents are deceased. And so let's move on from there. Let's not spend so many, you know, hours or so much time, you know, focusing on him trying to find his parents, only to find out that he's at the exact same place he was in episode one.
Good call.
There's no progression of these characters. And the same thing, you know, with Sabine. I haven't really seen much progression with that character either. But everybody's like, oh, that was great. It's like, well,
I feel like we've gotten more revealed, but I do agree that she's been static. Where we've not seen her development. The only thing close to it was in the episode where we see her kind of backstory with her friend, but not in the previous episode with Concord Dawn, but in the one with
with the bounty hunter chick.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the voice actress's name. It was from Firefly and everything with Alan Tudyk.
Oh, was that Gina Torres? Because I kept thinking it was, but
Gina Torres.
Oh, no, okay.
It was, and she was awesome. She's always great. Like, really, and that's part of why I liked it, I think, as much as I did. But I felt like it was the closest thing to development, because we hear through their discussion, they illustrate how she changed from how she used to be. We don't actually see that. It's not shown. It's told, which isn't just like the least effective form of visual storytelling. And I don't know. I think that I feel like the characters are pretty well-rounded, and there has been progression a little bit in the story, but not. I can see people's legitimate criticisms that the characters are treading water, like you said. Like, Ezra's really stuck in the same place with his parents. He's finally moved on a little, but it's taken a season and a half, and we've gotten like four episodes where he's progressed, but each time it's been so minuscule until the most recent one, that it's almost been imperceptible. And I think that's a legit criticism. And for me, one thing I liked about this episode was it felt like maybe all this stuff with Ezra's importance is misdirection. I mean, we know he doesn't bring balance to the Force. If he's still alive, you know, by the Jedi, he's not by Force Awakens. I mean, if he is, he's irrelevant. And I like the idea that Zeb might be the one who's actually important because he's keeping his people alive and because he, you know, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting if that was the big misdirection and Zeb is actually the significant and special one.
I mean, I would honestly like to feel that Rebels matters. And as much as I enjoy the show, and obviously I have my critiques of it, right now it doesn't feel like it matters. It doesn't matter much to the larger Star Wars mythos. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sort of in their own pocket. And, you know, whether or not, you know, it feels like everybody's going to survive. Everybody's going to have a happy ending. But ultimately, I want some consequences. I want to feel like these stories matter and that they're sort of in tune or in line with the way things are in the rest of the Star Wars universe. It just doesn't feel that way. And I almost think in many ways that Lucas was, with Clone Wars, Lucas was sort of the one to just, you know, stop maybe the creators from making everything too rosy or too rose-colored. You know, because you got some serious issues with Clone Wars and there was some impact with deaths and whatnot. And I almost feel like maybe Lucas was the one that's saying, no, everybody can't be okay at the end of this.
No, and I think that you're right.
Yeah.
It almost feels like that's, you know, like I've said it before, but everybody feels untouchable. Like no one's going to die. No one's going to have anything serious happen to them. And that's just not what Star Wars is. I mean, the very first movie you ever saw, the main character or one of the main characters, Obi-Wan Kenobi, died. And it didn't get easier after that. Luke Skywalker got his arm chopped off, you know, in the second episode. It just doesn't feel like there's those sort of ramifications with Rebels. And I think if you're going to look at it critically, you've got to wonder, you know, where's it all going?
I think you want the stories to have a purpose beyond just
I do. Mm-hmm. Really do.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's the difference I've always felt between like the George Lucas Star Wars and like at least what we know of what we have right now, I guess, especially with the animation, is like George Lucas was making Star Wars, but it was animated. Disney's making animated Star Wars. So for Disney, like the number one thing is to create a show that viewers watch. Lucas's number one thing was to make a story. And right. It happens to be animated. You know what I mean? Does that like there's just a difference there in the goal, I guess.
You're totally right. Like he did the same thing. That's the whole reason we've never seen the 40 fully produced episodes of Detours, because he said the same thing. He said, I'm going to make this the way I want to make it. I'm going to find a network later because it's Star Wars and people will want to air it.
Yeah.
And he was an auteur and he might be the last one we'll ever see who really did what he wanted. And it's cool. Like I don't get how people can hate a guy who is as charitable and as interesting as him. I totally get not liking all of his choices and appreciating all his decisions, but what a rad dude.
The thing, whenever I hear people bashing, because that really happens, they can bash George Lucas. And whenever I hear that, I'm like, okay, you know, just take a step back here for a second. Like you said, you know, you might not like all of his decisions, but we're here talking about Star Wars in the first place because of him. So, right. You know, he deserves that much respect.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But Amanda, I think the world wants to know just overall, no specific topic, just overall, what do you think about Rebels? Just go.
It's totally not. It's a mystery.
I don't think anyone really does want to know.
I don't know.
I already know how she feels about Rebels.
I feel like I know.
I mean, this is a tough thing because, like, I have tried since day one, like, really tried to like the show, and it just hasn't really happened. Like, some of my first exposure to it was that I got to go to Burbank and I got to go to a private screening and watch two episodes, and that was awesome. And they were good episodes, too. I saw the opening film and episode 5 of season 1, which is Rise of the Masters. Whatever her name is, Jedi in that one.
Luminara? Sorry.
Yes, Luminara. Yes. I'm terrible at remembering Jedi names. So that left such an impression on me, I think, that when I got what we really got, which is what Rebels is, it never lived up at all. I think that that's an acceptable episode, Rise of the Masters, for season 1. I think there have been other exceptional episodes, like, for instance, the opening movie, for season two. I'm blanking on what it's called, of course.
Season finale of the first season was amazing.
Yeah, I didn't love it like tons, but it was really good. I don't know. I hate Kanan, so he was in it a lot. I've been making excuses for myself forever. For instance, I was pregnant during most of Rebels that we've seen so far, so I was like, maybe that's why I didn't like it. It just wasn't working for me when my brain was messed up. But nothing really changed. You know, we saw it at Star Wars Celebration. We got to see more of it, and it was really cool, and it was great. And again, it was a really fun experience. It left such a great impression. And the rest of the season just hasn't lived up to it. I can't help compare it to the Clone Wars. I just can't. I can't eat Del Taco because I've already had Taco Bell. You know what I mean? It's the same thing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
What about Buttermilk Ranch versus Normal Ranch?
I mean, there's a time and a place for both. So I guess you could say there's a time and a place for Rebels and for Clone Wars. And it's just not for me. And I don't really blame the creators. I think that they're all extremely talented people. I really blame the budget, and I blame Disney's short-sightedness. I don't think that they set out with enough of a desire to make this a great show. I think they just wanted to make a show.
And I think they were very happy early on with the results, because the audiences were happy. They signed on to season two before season one ended, right? Or was started, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's Disney hears that, and in my opinion, they hear that and they go, okay, well, we're good. Status quo. Let's just keep it this way.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'm curious about, though, in maybe you guys know what this means, but it's not the number one show on Disney XD. It's the number two show. But it is the number one show for adults on that channel. So kids aren't connecting with it, but adults are? But it's a show that's aimed for kids, right?
Yeah.
I think what that means is that everything else on Disney XD is so unwatchable for adults. It doesn't even register.
Only the Star Wars stuff will pull us in.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think that's a good call, too.
That makes complete sense.
There's two other shows on Disney XD that I think are excellently done. Actually, much, much better than Rebels. No offense to Dave Filoni, because I love Clone Wars and I love his work. But both Gravity Falls and Tron Uprising are superior programs that are more layered and with more developed characters. And one of them is a freaking comedy. But it's just the way it is. And everything else on it I find completely unwatchable. It's not for me. It's for kids who are like 9 to 13 or whatever. But
we talk about the budget. I mean, Amanda, you mentioned it. I've talked about it before. We've all talked about the budget. If the story's there, if the story is solid, it doesn't matter how crap the animation is, or how much corners they have to cut, or how many hat ladies they have in a scene. You know, if the story draws you in, it doesn't matter what it looks like. With Clone Wars, it just happened to be that the stories drew you in, and the animation was unbelievably gorgeous. So
I mean, to an extent, yeah, you're right. But this is a visual art. I mean, the number one thing is what we're seeing on screen. That's supposed to make the story. That's supposed to draw us in. So if that's not up to par, you can't help but have problems with it.
Yeah, but but it's not just the animation that's an issue. I think it's story as well to some extent.
Yeah. No, I agree.
They're just not really moving anything forward. And again, like we talked about last episode, is the worst thing is they're spinning their wheels and then the rug gets pulled out from under them and there is no, resolution. So
I know what I find super frustrating is that maybe this is a part of the fans' fault, but I feel like we keep getting led up to believe that great things are going to happen, and then they fall completely flat. I felt like the lead up to season two was like, you're going to find out about Sabine's history, you're going to find out about this and that, and there's going to be this amazing showdown, et cetera, et cetera. And every single time that we've gotten to those points, it's like, oh, wait, that's it? It's over? Like, that's all we got? These 22-minute episodes just aren't enough to tell any really good story, and they refuse to do more than two episodes together. So I think that that everything they're trying to achieve, they just can't do it with the amount of time.
Great point.
Oh, I don't even know why we're talking about the show.
We've talked so long about it.
I love talking about the show for some damn reason.
We just talked like a half hour about it.
At all.
The email. Sorry.
But we already did talk about the email to some extent. I mean, it is an interesting theory, but again, there doesn't seem to be anything of consequence on Rebels that I can't see them introducing him as Rey's father.
Yeah, I think I was going to say Tim said it. Like Josiah wrote a really well-reasoned thing, but even he says in the article, this is not going to happen. Right. Like, so I think that we all agree with that point. Like, it's an interesting idea, but it's not going to happen, right?
Yeah, I think it's just something fun to consider.
Yeah. I get the feeling with Rebels, and it's really super unfortunate if it does end up going down this way, but like, for instance, I didn't read any of the Star Wars EU, but I know of like random characters' names, like, I don't know, Kip something or whatever, Mara Jade. So I feel like for a lot of Star Wars fans, these Rebels characters are going to end up the same way. There's going to be so many people that have seen 20 Star Wars films in the future, and they don't have a clue who Ezra Bridger is. And if you say something about him, they're going to be like, huh, what? Okay. Because the show is not going anywhere. It's going to be forgotten. It's a part of canon that means nothing, which is really weird.
Damn. You just said more than I've ever said. You just dashed the hopes of millions with like one paragraph.
This episode is called Amanda Lays It on the Line on Rebels. Like,
no, but I do call it like it is. Very true.
No, but I'm saying this is what I feel. This is my opinion and my thoughts. It's not. I'm not stating facts or anything. I don't know anything.
You just compared Ezra Bridger to Kip Duran.
Yeah, Kip.
I believe it was Kip something or other.
No, you did it.
But maybe that was a huge character for EU fans. I don't know.
It was. It really was. And so, it became the one character that people like to poke fun of why the EU sucks.
And that's why I'm saying it's unfortunate. It's sad because there are so many people out there who love Kip Duran, but now he's a joke. And Ezra Bridger might be a joke.
No, I think you're very right, because if you look at the Clone Wars, not to make the comparison, but it's really all we have to compare it to. People were attached to that. And people really like that. It's an amazing show. I wish it would come back. But they don't have that same level of attachment or connection to Rebels as it's airing, as it's
to
going
be fair,
on right
though,
now.
Some people do that we know. I mean, Sal and John Marie. Like, and you're right that not as many people that we talk to all the time, but that doesn't mean those people aren't out there. Well, like, just because it's not affecting us doesn't mean that the fan base isn't enjoying it. I mean, you hear someone like Ron, who we all respect. Someone was saying that they thought like 95% of the fan base likes it, and someone else was saying that somebody didn't. And I don't remember who was talking about it with him, but I don't remember which position everybody took. Did he say that he thought 95% were enjoying it?
This is the conversation I had with the guy. The guy felt that 95% of the people that he sees are enjoying Rebels based on the hashtag Star Wars Rebels. But, you know, our point was, we're not going to talk, you know, crap on a show.
And then hashtag.
And hashtag the show. It's like, you're not going to say Dave Filoni sucks if you believe that and make sure to include him in your tweet.
That's a really good point. For me, I feel like it's a
respectful way of subtweeting.
Yeah, no, and I was just going to say that I think it's just unknowable for us to say whether or not people really connect with it by and large versus Clone Wars, because it's a completely different market. Look at the number one shows on either Cartoon Network or Disney XD, and they're not the same ratings they were, because people don't watch live TV the same way they did 7 years ago.
Great, but I feel like people, again, just from – and this is largely from my conversations with people, but I feel like the characters aren't just people just don't connect. Maybe because they're not from the movies. You know, you're already kind of connected to Anakin and Obi-Wan and Yoda. You don't really have that as much here. So no, maybe that's why. But
I don't think so, because there's a ton of characters from Clone Wars that people gravitated to, you know, whether it's Rex or whether it's Hondo or whether, you know,
Ahsoka.
Right. Absolutely. So I think just the difference is, I think what's made this sort of an issue, and even why I brought it up, is that enough people now are like, look, I don't really enjoy the show. And they're expressing their opinions on the internet to where, you know, season one, everybody pretty much dug it for the most part. There wasn't anybody that was really like, you know, crapping on it. But now people are like, you know, something's not right. It's not grabbing me. And a lot of people are turning away from it. We're just saying, I'm going to wait and see how Ahsoka and Vader wraps up before I watch it again.
Absolutely.
The people that are, you know, diehard into it, this is the first time that they're really seeing people disagree with it. And it's like, okay, this is their opinion. You love it. They may not. It doesn't mean, you know, one's right or one's wrong. It's just somebody's opinion. It doesn't mean you have to shut them down or refuse to follow them or I'm going to ignore them and not.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, some of the stuff gets out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're seeing. I don't listen to those people. Those people, you know, it's like, come on, really? Is that how you exist in life, by refusing to acknowledge a difference of opinion? I mean, ultimately, people are going to love it. People are not going to love it. I'm still watching it. We're all still watching it, even though we may have our displeasure with it. But, it really could be better. Bottom line for me.
Well, yeah, and I think that when it comes down to it, like, I've seen people who have given it the show, like Amanda, you were saying, like, about all the chances and effort you've put into liking it. I mean, that's the same thing with Corey, who we all know. And I've seen people give him, like, throw him shade because he's not into it, like, you know, not being fair, not being a fan or whatever. It's like, no one's a bigger fan than him, and he has given that show so many chances and loved it last year. It's like, all every time, you know, I'd see him on social media or watch an episode of the podcast, all he would do is talk about how much he was loving it. And it's like, he's not happy to be disappointed about it right now. It's just a difference of opinion, like you said, and I'm more positive about it than anyone else here. But I'm still critical, and we have to be accepting of everyone's opinions. It's stupid to shut people down and gatekeep.
Well said.
The only place it can go for me is up at this point. So, well, you know, yeah. it's either going to be a show that I watch and I'm like, okay, or it's going to be a show that's like, thank you for, you know, getting me back. So, you know, I'm not going to stop watching it. I'm just hoping that there's something amazing in
it. I was going to say, I feel like it has a lot of room. It has great potential, and I feel like it's doing fine. I mean, I like the show. I just feel like it has a lot of potential to be pretty great. Yeah, but I feel like you gotta let, you know, whether this is the budget or whatever you have, I feel like you gotta let people like Dave Filoni, let them have a little more room to make something better. But, you know, that's my opinion. Do you not agree?
No, I think we're rebelled out.
All
right. we've been rebelling it up for like 40 minutes. I was going to watch Rebels with my family, but I didn't because we talked about Rebels the whole time.
All right. Well, I guess that was it for our show today. We can wrap it up.
Thank you, Mr. Ward, for the question.
Yeah, that was excellent, Josiah, and a very, very well-written piece.
And if you guys want to, by the way, shout out. Thank you to our international listeners. You guys are all over the place, ranging from Great Britain to Germany to Australia to the Netherlands. You guys are all over the place. So thank you guys for listening, as well as everyone in America. And I always appreciate the listens. If you like the show, you can follow the show's account, which is at podcast2187. Recently, this is a kind of a self-promotion thing here, but there's this... not a movement, I'm dramatizing it to call it a movement, but the Star Wars Podcast Awards is starting up, and the first time, and they today put out their nomination survey polls things that I'll tweet out under the show's account. But if you like us, go ahead and feel like nominating us for something, and if you don't like us, you don't think we should be nominated in an area, tell me why so we can fix it.
Nominate us for the best audio drama. Audio drama.
That's right. Yeah, this is all scripted. Mark and I work on this for hours beforehand.
Yeah, put it for that one, and then for best discussion of literature.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Because our tweets are literature.
You know, if they handle us like the Golden Globes, then yeah, we'll win those categories.
Oh, best shit. New podcast, people, right there, us. Put it down.
Yeah, that one's legit. That we'd appreciate that.
And I think we could even run for best ensemble.
Yeah, we're pretty good, right?
Let's push for it.
Sure.
Only when Penny's
on the podcast. So much confidence.
No, I'm just I'm not good at self promotion, so I'm like, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, vote for us.
You vote. If you don't, okay.
That sounds good.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you guys for being on, Mark, Jared, Amanda. Always a pleasure to have you guys part of this, and very awesome time just talking to you guys. So thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you, Jim.
You got it, dude.
Yeah. All right. And yeah, we'll see you next time on episode 5. Yeah, this is episode 4. I guess that means we've covered about a month, right?
That's awesome.
Once a week, yep. 4 weeks.
Yeah.
See, I can kind of do math. All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.